Ed and Rizan Ferrelli on 2FM
with Virgin Mobile. Go from scrolling through stories to creating your own. Freedom is calling. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Now, let's talk about this. In May this year, Blackpool forward and 17-year-old Jake Daniels became the first English Premier League player since 1990 to come out as gay. Isn't that unbelievable? But why in 2022 is there's still such a stigma for professional athletes to come out? Well, 34-year-old Ireland Olympic hockey player Peter Carruth, who has played for Ireland, listen to this, 148 times, has recently become the first international hockey player and just the second Irish male Olympian to publicly reveal that he is gay. And he joins me in studio. Peter, you're very welcome.
Lovely to meet you. How are you doing?
It's lovely to meet you. Thanks for coming in. Peter, can I ask, do you remember the day you said those words and you came out and who it was to?
Yeah, it was actually a funny one. My mate was having a bit of a barbecue at his house and it was actually cutting salsa. I know a bit random, but you get those vivid memories of those sorts of times. And yeah, we were just talking, came back and I was having a conversation about this girl I was talking to and he just pulled me right up. He said, something doesn't make sense here. Something's not right. Like, you always talk about girls and it's coming across in a weird way. And he just asked there and then. He said the right words at the right time. Says, like, is there something you're not telling? Are you gay or something? And that was the straw that broke the camel's back, basically. And I think the dam burst. And yeah, I admitted it then.
Did you appreciate him saying that? Or did it take you aback in that moment? Were you a bit offended? How did you feel in that moment?
No, I felt, honestly, I leant back in the chair I was in and I wouldn't even let him hug me. Like, we're a big group of lads. Mm. We're comfortable with each other. And like, I had the T-shirt over my head and wouldn't then come back. But to this day, it's the most appreciative, like, words that have ever come out of somebody's mouth. Not that I thought I was going to do a Philip Schofield on it, you know, keep it to myself and, you know, end up marrying some, just for the sake of it. But thankfully, it didn't come to that and I was able to be, like, true to myself. And that's the biggest one.
How old were you?
How old was I? Well, 33.
33.
Well, I knew when I was 14.
Yeah.
So I knew from a very young age, but it wasn't a comfortable scenario in those days. Mm-hmm. to come out and family are quite a religious family as well. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mum's an RE teacher. But look, if people like my mum, my dad and all my best mates can, like, truly be comfortable with it and accept it, then here's class. So
that's amazing. Well, it sounds like you've a great group of friends.
They slag me off a lot. They're actually listening
right
now.
That's what I mean. You need friends that are going to slag you off as well. You need that too in your life.
There's no. My sister says the most ridiculous group of lads has ever been around, that they're all able to take the piss out of each other, but always we're there first for each other. If something happens, we're all around the house. If some girl breaks up with a lad, we're all there. We might find it funny about 2 days after, but we're all there for
each
other.
That's good to hear.
And I think from this time, it's actually brought us a lot closer. Now, not to say that one of my friends almost passed out when I told him, and an extra friend actually did pass out in the bath, but there's been that type of reaction to it, but there's also been the onpouring from all over the world that's been class a show, and it just shows there's a lot more athletes out there, male athletes that are suppressing their feelings.
Of course.
But they shouldn't need to. And that's the biggest thing I'm trying to do by publicly coming out, because it came out in November, but my whole narrative about public coming out is to let people know that you don't have to suffer like that. I suffered for 20 years, you know, mentally and, you know, not being true to myself. And I think for me to get over it now, yeah, I could have done it earlier, but I think just the time was right and the mm-hmm. question was right, and yeah, I'm happy enough.
So that happens with your friends, and then very quickly, you go so public with it. I mean, that is a huge thing. Was it almost harder to admit those words to your friends and family than do it publicly? I mean, once you had that support, was it easier to come out publicly?
Yeah, it was easier. And I hummed and hawed about doing it because I know I'm that type of character that when it gets blown up, I'm going to have to face the music as it is.
Here you are.
Oh, don't worry, you're not that scary.
Good.
I think a few of my mates would fancy you, though. That'd be the one. I think being able to have those discussions is why you're, and it's not that scary. In the biggest day of it, since coming out, I really have found the support outweighs all the distractions from the weak-minded. I say like that there, and people that want to just bring you down, and it outweighs it 95% to 5%, but you're always going to have to deal with that 5%, and that's the part where it is.
Why is it in the sports world? I mean, we know this. I mean, it just doesn't happen. Men don't come out publicly. Why is that?
I think you have to look at a bit of masculinity. For me, it was also a bit of, I don't want the opposition to find that one weakness. Yeah. You know what I mean? If you bring it down right to the core of it, you know, you don't want people to feel that you're weak in some way. And it shouldn't be about that. And it's not about that, because I think anybody that's played me on the pitch will know the other... leave a bit, you know, battered, or they'll leave me scoring 3 or 4. But I think in the world of it, it is just harder for lads to come out. We keep things bottled up a bit more, and that's not good, and it shouldn't be the norm. And that's what I'm trying to get out here, that it doesn't have to be the norm. But sporting wise, I think it all comes down to that edge.
Yeah.
And it does come down to that edge. And that for me is the biggest factor. But I think if you just look at the Premier League footballers.
Yeah.
There's not that many Premier League footballers have come out. It can't be. Do you know what I mean?
You know, if you look at the statistics, I mean, it's impossible. They're there, but they're obviously suffering and hiding. How did you feel when you saw Jake Daniels, 17-year-old Premier footballer, come out? I mean, that was phenomenal.
At that age, fair play. Yeah. You know what I mean? That takes some balls. That takes absolute heart, courage. And, you know, I followed it after, and I thought, wow, that's absolutely fantastic. And I think all those people that are building up and accumulating more male athletes to come out and know that it's okay to be gay, I think for him personally in the Premier League world, massive. He's been around football a lot of times. The media over there is going to be far bigger than, you know, yes, an Olympian, but he's got the world media on him.
The world looking at him, and fans can be cruel.
Of course they can. I think, though, if you're ever on the pitch, I don't really take notice of anybody on the stands around me. It helps I've only got one ear and I can only hear half of what people are saying. so that really does hear me. So if I'm on one side, I won't hear somebody shouting at me. But I think, he's got a lot more fans, etc., every week.
So it was a step in the right direction, I mean, for everybody. And I think it's so important for young people to see that. You know, maybe young lads who are struggling, who are hiding it, to see icons like yourself and like Jake Daniels to publicly say it and let them know it's okay. Talk to me about that 20-year secret. Mentally, how do you go through something like that?
Mentally, it almost destroyed me.
Right.
I'll be brutally honest with that. But I think I could be the best Russian spy there is out there, because I was able to get away with like having lads around and stuff like that. But for me, since I was so young, it really did have an impact. It manifested itself into me being diagnosed with an OCD anxiety disorder, which only came about from a time in Spain. Now, that time in Spain was a difficult time, where I was with the Irish men's team, and it just got too much one night and ended up going on the top of a balcony, end up slipping, end up thankfully holding on, didn't know how I would get back in, put myself back up. And I think from that sort of time, I knew then for me, I needed to seek a bit of help, because that's not normal. You know, it's not a normal thing to go through. It's a sad thing to go through as well. But I think I phoned my best mate that night. He says it was the worst phone call he's ever had. And for me, I was just trying to get out of the loop about having to express all these feelings. And, you know, it would take me about, to get before that, it would take me about an hour to, just to press buttons, and it'd take me about 4 or 5 hours to actually get to sleep every night. So normally I'd be waking up at about 6 for a training day, 6, 7, but only getting to bed at maybe 4 or 5, and having to sneak about a room with another athlete in the room at the same time, you know, not trying to wake them, but to try switch off all the light switches at the exact same point and do it 100 times. And if I messed up, I'd have to do it. But that was cyclical from about the age of 22.
Wow.
Yeah, so I think all that has an effect and builds up and then comes into these like disorders, you know what I mean, that you get from. But at the back of my mind, it was always because I was gay. And that was the thing. And since it came out, it's all gone. Now, that's the maddest thing. You know, that is the thing where I'm going. And there's actually a physio down, a physio down in Dublin that said to me, there's more to this. You're injured quite a lot of the time. You don't seem comfortable in all this. Is there something else going on? And he wasn't the first person to ask that. And for me, I just couldn't say it. And it when it was accepted and mate said, just the right question at the right time, and I think everyone was telling me, I was able just to let go and burst out. But for me, the mental health part of it, I think I've seen every psychologist in Northern Ireland and Ireland, you know what I mean? And for me, that's the hardest factor to go. I really wanted to tell them, but I wasn't going to tell them. That for me, and I think for anybody out there, I know it's the old cliche, but it really is. If you're feeling like that, talk to someone. I think if you have mates behind you, like I do have mates behind me, they'll batter around you, you know, and they won't care.
What about those? You're very lucky to have mates like that. What about those lads who don't have mates around them like you?
Well, I think social media is so open today. You can reach out to anyone. Like I've opened my social media there. I work in school, so it's meant to be closed, but I've opened it up to go like, and the inundation of, I don't know if that's the right word, but it was close to it. Being inundated with so many messages from younger kids to older guys to married men, you know what I mean? And that's when I feel, you know, bad about coming into my social media and saying me too, and how did you go through it? And I think for me, I've opened up that social media just to go, if you have a problem, and you don't have mates around you, not them saying, reach out. I'm not going, I can't get back. I haven't got back to everybody, but I will get back to those people.
But there is a community out there.
Yeah.
There's organisations.
Yeah.
There's belong to. There's loads of help out there. But I suppose it's, nobody should suffer like that.
No.
I mean, I can't believe you were doing that in the middle of the night. That it must have been, that's like torture. And then you're sleep deprived. And then you're competing and being.
Well, that's the big one. At Rio, it's when it really hit me. Like I was suffering really through there. And it was all going through my head. What happens if somebody finds out here in the biggest stage? You know, the Olympic Village is that where there's condoms sitting everywhere.
Yeah, I heard. You know?
I don't know how much you can say, but it was like a crazy dungeon.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean, heard.
When you start. So they're all there and it's all this, but I was going, what happens
if someone finds it?
If I go and, you know, and it creeps about and then it becomes a story. You know what I mean? So for me, then it even added more to anxiety. And I think I was able to play. I think I started throwing up against Canada. In that game, still scored though, so I'll keep it as that. I'll give myself big props for that, but I was still able, you know, to have 1 hour sleep, wake up, get on the bus. I just remember on the bus I'd always try to close my eyes for about, maybe I'll get 10 minutes here, and then arrive at the pitch, did not feel well, didn't look well, ended up coming off at half time just thrown up everywhere. I started knowing then, but I went to every doctor beforehand, was just like, oh, don't. They're all like nervous and all this here. Nobody could put the finger on it because I was tied up about it, but I wouldn't let it go. So
did your family suspect or say anything to you?
No, this is the weird thing. Nobody really suspect. Now, I'm a great dancer, so how somebody didn't notice with the shapes I was pulling, like I'm able to do a split still.
Oh, good, aren't you?
These trunks might go, but yeah, I think they knew I was a bit camp and a bit out there and a bit quirky and a bit of a character, but no, my sister was taken aback. Like I have two sisters, but Alison was like a bit in shock about it. But nobody really knew. Mum and Dad certainly didn't know, you know. But for them, they've really accepted, especially my mum. Like she's an RE teacher, you know. It was like, oh, you know, maybe just, you know, keep it yourself. And she's going, no, actually, she accepted. She's told her mates. You know, or mates now.
And that was probably a big thing for her to do as well.
I'm sure massive, because back I'll make her feel old, she is a bit old. Back in the day where, you know, it wasn't accepted, it was
illegal.
Yeah, we'll put it at that point, it was illegal.
And it's quite traumatising, yeah. I would say, especially for friends of mine who lived through that, like in their 30s and 40s, of, you know, and I can't imagine... like having to go through that and having that still in my history. So like in teens, being a teen in Ireland and it was illegal to be who you are. So all of that as well. So that's why, you know, we always say, oh, your parents, they should be supportive or whatever. But it was a big thing for them as well. So for your mum to be so supportive, hats off to her.
Yeah, she did say it. She said, like, it's times have changed. And she always kept saying that.
Thank God.
Yeah, thank God is right. You know, if it was back in the days where legal, don't know what would have done. And that probably led, like, people losing their minds a bit, if you know what I mean. But it's fair play to anyone that's still living with that. But the scars of that. Yeah,
as well.
I really do feel for people like that there. And as you said, there are those organisations, and do reach out if you're still feeling about that. But I think fair play to her and fair play to all mates.
Fair play to you.
Yeah, thanks very much.
I mean, you're an absolute joy to speak to, and you speak so well, and to what you've been through, and to be so open about it now. I mean, anybody and everybody who looks up to you, I mean, there's people listening now who you've already helped just by chatting. And talking is sometimes the hardest thing to do. So
I think publicly, all I'm trying to do publicly, come out, is to help somebody at any age or any walk of life not have to go through what I went through for 20 years. And if I can help that one person, but I know it's a lot more, do that, then I'm appreciative. And that's the goal of it, that, you know. And for me, there's too many people still out there. Even if you look at the apps, like Grindr and stuff like that there, that's a different kettle of fish. But there are so many people that are in relationships that, you know, aren't being true to themselves.
Lying.
And I feel for them, because I was a bit of a liar, if you would go through that, because any time my mates would ask me about girls, I had to lie. You know what I mean? I was probably with some lad. That was the difference. And, you know, I've been close to being caught out a few times. See, that's why I would lock doors and make sure it was like Fort Knox. In my house, you wouldn't have got in. But for me, I didn't want to be that person. There was always that bit that was really cramping me down, that was led to the Spain episode and led the episodes before that. And I think now it's Top Hat's the best mate, Pete. Top Hat's my other mates, Owen, Ozzy, and the rest of them, Scooby, you know, they're all listening. So, you know, I had to fire them out there. But there's a lot more in my life now that, and it's allowed me to be a lot freer. They come out with me to, like, the gay nightclubs and stuff like that, and they're worse than me. You know what I mean?
Having a ball.
They're absolutely having a ball. But they're being true to themselves, and so am I.
Yeah, and it's great to hear. Is this just a big ploy? You've mentioned you're a dancer now. Are you trying to get on Dancing with the Stars? Are you trying to get me to put a word in for you? Is that what's going on here?
Well, I didn't even know that, but I think I'd win the show. I honestly do.
I think you'd be deadly. Yeah. Well, listen, to your mates that are listening, thank God for them. They sound like a great bunch of lads. You are an absolute legend, my friend. It's great to see you in a good place. May you continue and have a long and happy life, being out and being proud and living your life. And there must be a huge sense of relief in your life now.
Yeah, well, there's no barriers anymore. I think a lot of people said, oh, you've changed, and my best mate, he's not changed, he's just happy. And I think being happy, being out there and being comfortable with it, like the schools I'm in down here traditionally are very Christian schools based, with, you know, the King's Hospital and Alexander Girls School. And the headmaster actually wrote a lovely letter to me. I only got it last night because I was down. And, you know, and he's since inspired kids in our school, and a lot of them have reached out. And, you know, for me, they know they can come banter off me, but there's a line there to toe. But I think for me, these schools are more welcoming, and they're educating their kids. And for me, if you educate them early enough that they accept everybody for what they are and for who they are and whatever they want to be, then just be true to yourself on that.
Peter, thanks for coming in.
Jennifer Zaffarelli. Weekday morning from 9 on 2FM.